Today's programming is made possible in part by the Friends of WILL and by Country Financial Representative Scott Jackson, Village at the Crossing in Champaign, committed to helping clients achieve their retirement income goals since 1990. Online at scottjacksonfinancial.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Smithfield Foods says its third quarter earnings surged as profits improved at its packaged meats, hog production, and fresh pork segments. Overall sales rose 11% to $3.7 billion and profit rose to $155.3 million from $35.4 million. Sales at the packaged meats segment, the largest contributor to Smithfield revenue, grew to $1.73 billion from $1.51 billion a year earlier. Sales of fresh pork rose to $1.44 billion from $1.3 billion on strong global demand. Three subsidiaries of the world's largest fertilizer producer, Potash Corporation of Saskatchewan, agreed to pay $1.3 million in fines and make some $50 million in improvements to eight fertilizer production plants across the U.S. The settlement stems from alleged Clean Air Act violations at the plants that were modified in ways that released excess sulfur dioxide into surrounding communities, that according to the Environmental Protection Agency. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, trading 17,454, is down 50 points. The NASDAQ, 4153, is down 9.5. The S&P 500 is 2023, and it is down 4.25 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Happy Friday, Drew. Hello, Drew.
Okay, try that. Is that better?
That's much better.
Oh, my gosh. Panic again. All right, well, it looks like we are going to be seeing a good Friday here. The majority of the Midwest will see rather tranquil weather over the next 2 days, but we are on the cusp of a big change. And we are going to see temperatures turn much colder across the Midwest, and this will likely take place as we move forward through the late weekend and through much of next week. And I'm sure that you've heard about all that, but as we move forward through that period of time, we're going to see afternoon highs confined to the 20s and 30s across the northern parts of the Midwest and 30s and 40s in the south, with lows at night in the teens and 20s across many areas, with some upper single-digit readings possible in the northwestern Corn Belt. All this will peak out during mid to late week next week, and there will be some snow that has to be dealt with. Fortunately, the significant snow is not going to be in the lower Midwest, but unfortunately for those folks in the western and northern parts of the Midwest, there will certainly be some issues to deal with that haven't been seen for many months. We will see snow accumulations from South Dakota and Nebraska through a big part of Iowa, probably the northern half to two-thirds of Iowa and southern Minnesota over to Michigan. And these areas will end up with 2 to 5 inches of snow accumulation, and there is going to be a very narrow band of 5 to 8 inches possibly. This narrow band will be the result of some very heavy snowfall rates that will take place. And as you know, our soil temperatures are still fairly warm right now. So if the snow is going to have to fall pretty hard in order to accumulate in a significant manner before melting. So the 2 to 5 inches will be only representative of what actually accumulates for a while. If there would be enough hours of snow that if it was colder, we would see even greater amounts of snow out there. The lower and eastern parts of the Midwest and most of our immediate listening area here will have a little bit of light rain, some drizzle, and then changing over to some snow shower activity as we get into the middle part of next week, but we are not going to see nearly the snow that's going to occur to the north of us. And it looks like until we get to next week, the weekend weather is going to be relatively good. We do have a disturbance that will move through the upper parts of the Midwest or northern portions of the region here tonight and tomorrow. This will be mostly a rain producer. It'll move from the Dakotas over to Michigan. It'll be very similar to what occurred yesterday and the night before, and moisture totals run up to about 0.25 inches. Now, we'll look for a small Saturday night into Sunday morning. Just a dusting to an inch or so will occur across the northern parts of the Midwest. All the while, the lower and eastern portions of the region will stay mostly dry. I should stay mostly confined to the southern areas. So southern Iowa, Missouri, and areas eastward into southern Ohio will be the region that will see little to no precipitation over the next few days. Now, there will be the start of the bigger storm system in the northwestern Corn Belt as we move on into Sunday night into Monday, and that's when things will start to deteriorate. But it will take a couple of days for the coldest air to start working its way through the heart of the Midwest, and we should look for not only that transition to occur, but some wind also to accompany the cool off. In the meantime, in South America, everything's looking relatively good. We do have a pocket of dryness in the middle of Brazil's crop country. And this weekend, we'll see that some of those drier-biased areas get filled in with some needed moisture, so the bottom line will still be very good in the long-range outlook for most of that country. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Join us November 24th for our first-ever WILL Egg Farm ASICS Conference at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. Our on-air analysts will be all there talking about corn, soybeans, and cash grain marketing. And we've lined up experts from the U of I College of ACES to take up farmland values, crop insurance, and the ARC-PLC decision. The cost is $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065. Or on our secure website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter, December wheat 570 3/4, down 8 1/4. Soft December, 513 1/4, down 7. December corn, 366 3/4, down 4 1/2. March, 379 1/2, down 4 1/2. July, 395 3/4, down 4. November soybeans, 1026 down 5. January, 1022 3/4, down 5 1/4. July, 1035 1/4, down 4 1/4. December soybean meal, 384.30, down 7.40. December soybean oil, 32.30, down 23. December live cattle, 165, 62.5, up 27.5. November feeders, 237.35, up 82.5. December lean hogs, 88.90, up 125. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, I think we're probably in line for lower weekly closes in December corn and November soybeans, but I'm not so sure that much damage has really been done to the charts at this point.
No, I don't think so at this point. I think we kind of are kind of locked into testing both ends of the ranges here, but maybe I'm looking at things too simply, Dave, on the cash side of things. I think, you know, we've had a lot of stuff finished up here in the last 2 weeks from the farmer standpoint and harvest, and most elevators give, you know, some period of time before the farmer has to decide whether to sell or store. And I think part of what you're seeing this morning here is, and probably the weekly close, like you're talking about being lower, is that we've got some, you know, we've got some cash selling, I think, going on in the market here this morning since it's the end of the week and a lot of stuff's kind of like getting to that drop-dead deadline.
And we have a USDA crop production and WASDE report on Monday.
Yep, that's right.
What are the anticipations for that?
Well, I think for the most part, in general, the trade's looking for increased production numbers. I think some are expecting we'll have some offset on that by some increased export numbers on the beans. We are running, you know, above the pace that you typically see for this time of the year on soybean exports. So I think we'll see, expecting to see bigger yields, bigger production, probably some slight increase in carryout, but not the full increase in production carrying over to the carryout number.
So after the report is over, are we set up to try the highs first or the lows first?
Well, I think we still have on the short term here, we're still looking at the meal situation on beans. And I think if it continues to stay tight, we could certainly go up there and test it. But when you look at the meal, we made several runs here now up to that $400 level on the meal, and we really can't seem to get through that. Cash meal is still tight, but that situation continues to get better, I think, as we go down the next 10-day path or 2-week path here. So I guess I feel like we may have tested these highs at this point. We probably need it on nearby beans. We probably need to, see a close above $10.50 or below $10 to give us our next direction at this point.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. December corn trading 367, down 4 1/4. March 379 3/4, down 4 1/4. July is also down 4 1/4 at 395 1/2. November beans 1026, down 5. July 1036, down 3 1/2. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 9:01 Central Time.